Show of hands, who had to Google UEFN? And welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly. The show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, hot twos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin, that's Jordan, that's Pedro, and together with you, Shoutrum Dynamic, watching us live right here on Twitch, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. You know him, you love him. Gentlemen, what's up? What's new? We got a whole week. Jordan's eye has fallen out. Pedro is filled with
phlegm,
summer
and
joy.
Snot.
Yeah, I'm summer sitting over rotten. Here going, man, I really want to like this Intel Arc card, but more on that at 11. Anything outside of that going on? Did we cover all the bases there?
I guess so. There's not much else going on.
Pedro's got new glasses on his face, too.
My eyes are crusting over and will eventually form new lenses over my eyes.
So would you wear an eye patch if your eye decides to fall off?
I was debating this, and the answer is yes. I would absolutely eye patch it up.
Like, really, what do you do? Like, you kind of got to... I don't know. Like, if I had to wear an eye patch, I'd want the scar, too, though.
I think I could just rock the eye patch. I don't know if I'd want to have like an emblem or something on the eye patch, or if I just want like a classic like black one. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely have. I'd have to get the eye patch with the scar, just so when somebody's like, "What happened?" I'm like, "Badminton."
It was a bad mitten.
Yes, the one singular mitten. It was really bad.
Oh right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it, because we're never going to get the eye patches on the... I think the horse has two eye patches at this point.
The horse has eye patches. It's got, like, swords crossing it. It's got, like, underscore XX42069 on either side. It's a steam...
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about an entire article written about one word. Sounds like I'm
making
that
word
up.
Is.
Well, it's secret. Didn't you watch the beginning? We need to bring back Pee-wee's Playhouse. We're gonna have that magic word of the day, right?
Can we hire like Lawrence Fishburne?
I want that. Yeah, fuck yes. Steam could land on the Xbox, man. Supreme X Overlord X Phil Spencer was asked if he could envision other storefronts coming to the Xbox, and his well thought out answer was yes.
Why not? Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. So Tom's Guide decided to write it in. Well, I don't know if this passes as an article, but they gave it a shot. And that got me thinking, man, isn't this something we kind of planned on? Like, when consoles were no longer, when they moved over to x86, because x86 is x86, unless it's not, you know, and everybody's like, well,
Sony.
We got,
and Xbox as well. It's like, it has PC components, but it is not PC architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, to add some more context to that, you know, Phil was like, okay, Epic Store, Steam, stuff like that. He's like, sure, just come on, cover me in it, Gabe. Put it all in my face. And Xbox is struggling right now. You know, Microsoft's bought all the studios, and even at GDC, some of the scuttlebutt was some of the mid-end, you know, not like super AAA title, but like mid-tier and upper mid-tier publishers were like, we might not consider Xbox for our next title that we're going to put on. This is not going to be worth it. Would it be a good idea, Jordan Zwang, for Microsoft just to admit defeat and say these console things are dumb? What we're going to give you from now on is a $600 general purpose media center PC that you can install anything on. It's not locked down to anything. We'd really like it if you would run Microsoft Windows 12.
Yeah, they're Microsoft doesn't respect their user base enough to give them that level of freedom. But yeah, maybe some like more general like gaming platform type things. I don't know. As game streaming starts becoming more and more of a thing, the actual platform that your game runs on becomes less and less relevant, because yeah, you know, it's not actually your Xbox that's running your game. Your Xbox is just sending and receiving commands to a remote server where the game is actually running. So yeah, maybe. I mean, what, we see a lot of like smart TVs now with gaming capabilities. Netflix is serving out games through their service. Like, there is motion in that regard happening. So maybe it's a thing. It'll happen.
How do you think the cut's going to work, Pedro? Let's say Steam's going to come to Xbox, and how do you think that negotiation's going to be? Do you think Microsoft's like, no, we want a cut of that 30%, bro?
I think at that point, Valve just goes, yeah, you're getting as much of a cut on the Xbox as you do on Windows, which is not.
None. Do you think Abe just holds up the Steam Deck and like, remember, do you want to, yeah. Do you remember why we created this?
We've been down this road before. We have the solution now. So you want our thing? Cool. You can have our thing. Same deal as everyone else. Yeah, no, I honestly don't think it's a good idea. It's an absolutely good idea if Microsoft decide to be a little more open with the Xbox platform and make, you know, because there's also the rumors going around that they want to have their own handheld gaming thing.
Everyone says, apparently.
Yes. As it turns out, Steam Deck's popular. But yeah, no, just to have something that's more open, something that's not a proprietary plastic stupid little box that everyone hates, but they begrudgingly have to accept because Microsoft's been going around buying exclusives.
As long as Microsoft can like figure out a way to like wedge themselves into them and collect like a little tithe, I think they'll be fine in the long run. I'm not worried about them. I think.
Where do they do? Okay. Where do they go? Because like consoles are dying, man.
Yeah.
Like,
it's all mobile. It's all, yeah.
Well, I think everything's hurting right now, though, dude. Even mobile, because like people are just like, let's play the games I got right now.
the casual side, the mobile casual side, that's still going just fine. That don't give a shit.
Now, Microsoft has proven that they can make hardware that is open, like the Surface laptops, right?
Yep. But again, Microsoft is, as you often bring up, then Microsoft is one of those things where it's like a multi-headed organization where some one part might have a really good idea and then another part is going to go bite that other head in the throat and be like, no, you're not allowed to do that. You're harsh in our buzz. So maybe, right? Like
I'd love that. And of course, Microsoft was right to Microsoftize it because, you know, that DNA is like deeply grained. I never thought the Xbox, you youngins, I don't know if you remember the initial announcements for the next Xbox. I'm like, Microsoft's making a game console? What? Like, all right, I'm sure they'll sell 10 of them, and, you know, here we are 20 years later. But, it'd be good. But it would still be some form of, because Microsoft tried to make that media PC. Remember that epic burn that PlayStation was able to deliver? I think it was at E3 when Microsoft first announced, like, we have this hyper convoluted DRM scheme for game sharing that's going to get rid of used games, and it's great. And so,
and there's a like, webcam that's always on and a microphone that's always
has listening. To be connected. It is perfect. Yeah. If you unplug it, it won't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on stage, it's like, how do you share games with PlayStation?
And it does.
Yeah. But hey, now what I think the digital version of the PS5 is still more expensive than the one that takes discs, right? That's the thing that's still happening.
What?
That's the thing. Even during the scalpocalypse, whatever you want to call it, the PlayStation outsold the Xbox significantly. There were Xboxes in stock. There were Xboxes everywhere. You couldn't find a fucking PS5 to save your life. But there were plenty of Xboxes lying around, so clearly they're doing something wrong.
I don't know, man. Game Pass doesn't. I mean, Game Pass is a good idea, but you gotta have those big titles. But you know, we're talking about this like very short-sighted. Like, too, Microsoft's also capable. They got enough money in the bank, as Jordan has brought up a couple times. They got all kinds of money. They're capable of playing the long game.
So, I'm just curious, like, what is Sony doing right? Because it's not like Sony is like making any strives winning people's hearts and minds over. I'm very
they got games about,
I guess
they got games. I mean, it's a real simple equation,
but they what have like five exclusives total, I think.
Yeah,
they
have like but that's the thing, they don't Microsoft need the exclusives. As we're going to be talking later on.
I guess having some rather than none.
I mean, and it shifts back and forth, man, like, you know, the PlayStation 3 versus
the 360. Yeah, the 360 was definitely the winner in that. I think between PS4 and the Xbox One, I think PS4 probably won that one.
Oh, yeah. The PS4 ran away with that one because, again, the Xbox One was the one that had... You had to have the Kinect always on, and it was always looking, and it was always listening. And it had to be online, always online, and then it wasn't always online. Maybe it had to call in once a day or something like that.
Do you think people are just, like, in general, just kind of sick of Microsoft?
No. I don't think most people, like, know or care. Like, they're like, what? Oh, the micro Bill Gates guy from back then? Funny meme guy. All right, sure.
I don't know. But like we're talking about people who like buy.
I think one of the biggest things that's hurt the previous two generations of welcome back to Console Cast. three people. So it's been confusion and choice paralysis with the Xbox branding. Because I make fun of it all the time because it's easy to make fun of the Xbox One SSXX tricky SSXXX. Like who the fuck? PlayStation's got it right. You got PlayStation and Pro. I'm talking about within same generation,
Yeah,
because like you don't know, and like some games are and are not backwards compatible. But like, it's a hot mess. It's a hot mess over there in Redmond. Who knows? But yeah, if Microsoft could give you like a decent Steam machine for $600, I'd buy it. Hold my nose and buy one, as long as I could wipe it and put whatever Steam OS equivalent is for the cheap hardware.
It's Intel Arc only though.
For $600, huh?
I mean, the whole Wintel moniker wasn't a thing that just, showed up one day.
That's going to do it for Steamy News. Let's go ahead and talk about not one. Well, you know what? We're just going to talk about one new game this week. The other one.
It's not a new game, but we're still going to talk about it.
Yes. But yeah, it's the first one is Slice and Dice, which is a game that I've played a lot of on my phone. Like, legitimately, I've played a lot of this game on my phone because it's the only game that's on my phone. So, yeah, I bought it, I can't remember, a few years ago. And it's available now. It's on Steam. It's £7.50. I'm guessing $9.99 over in the US.
Yeah, about 10
and
bucks.
And it is... 11. Yeah, oh, $8.99. All right.
Get your shit right, Matt. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's just one below 10 bucks. But yeah, it is, they describe it as a tactical dice rolling roguelite game, and that is a very good description, because each of your characters has a dice, you roll the dice, you pick what dice you want to keep, and then you can roll them again for the ones you didn't like. Your mages usually have a bit more variance, because you can either choose to cast the spell that you got, or just save the mana cost and use that. But to cast like bigger spells.
Moonspeak is this 128 hero classes plus 999999.
Because each of the classes has enough variance in the die that you can effectively turn one class into another.
we're basically like every class is just like the number of or the specific
moving
symbol
on
spread
to,
on
I'm curious. Infinity symbol curses.
Oh yeah, they can just generally generate a random curse for you.
All right.
What stood out for me. My boy Ziggurath is on the soundtrack credits, and that's he's been putting out some pretty good dungeons over the past couple of years. So shout outs to Ziggurath. That shit's great. I tried the demo, and that is some fucking dicey dungeons crack. Oh my god, I got hooked. The demo though, it does have a demo. It is borked under Linux. You smash the Proton button, and it runs fine. Does the full version run natively?
I don't know. I don't have the Steam version. What I did do was, and I can tell you for a fact that those minimum requirements are legit, because I have the Android version installed on Waydroid on the Celeron Chromebook, which is, passively cooled. And it plays without issue, even on a system that low end, so...
I mean, it should. I wouldn't be surprised here, Ben. I mean, I'm not looking at that going, man, I bet that's got some serious...
We've seen games that look like they shouldn't require...
Gonna have to cut DLSS. I really want to make like FSR. A box standard pixel shooter and have like full DLSS, DLSS 3 and like ray tracing.
Just make Q-Bert with ray tracing.
Oh, dude, not even that fancy. Yeah, I tried it and like you, I clicked play and it went, does that little blip. And I'm like, well, we know what that is, an empty depot. And went ahead and swapped that out. And not my type of game, but I get it. I immediately got it. I'm like, yeah, I could see this working. I'm like, it's something that you would pick up fuck around with, put it down, and be done with. And, you know, until like 10 minutes pass, then you pick it back up.
Yeah. Very much in the style of like Slay the Spire and whatnot, where like, yeah, you can spend 10 minutes playing it, or you can inadvertently drop 2 hours in it.
And it's
like,
not graphically intensive, you know, for audio listeners, as most of you get like a little block of dudes over here and block of baddies over here. You pick on you guys, pick your attacks, and you do your dice rolls, and you get to re-roll, you know, because sometimes the dice has come up, you know, not anti-Milhouse with big axes on them. I get it. Simple mechanic, and I'm sure there's lots of complexity with like using your shields. And
there's some fun class stuff where like you can do more damage depending on how much shields you have on a guy. There's a lot of like Voltron Wombo combo shit.
Yeah.
That like it's the neuron activation meme. This is exactly the kind of shit I love playing.
And for combos. Those of you who like the hipster pixel stuff, dude, this thing just has some strong PS1 vibes to it. Like with the jiggly pixels.
It is surprisingly, because to me, when I saw this game, and it was one of those games that Google just advertised to me on the Play Store, it's like, okay, fine, whatever, we'll try. Oh, this is actually nice. Okay, fine, I'll buy the actual game. So yeah, no, it is legitimately really well done, and it's really, really fun. If you have something with a touch screen laptop,
Steam Deck,
or x86 tablet,
yeah,
the solid recommendation.
What was the name? Was it just called Dragon?
Dragon the game, yeah.
Dragon the game.
I looked at a while ago, yeah.
Oh, and I saw a while ago? One. You mean like 8 years ago?
Yeah, that's a while.
That's a minute. Yes.
That's a good long while ago. But this is not that. This is Dragon's Legacy, which is not actually a full game. It is the beta of another game. As the initial review says, this is one where you get to be a dragon, lay eggs, blah 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 blah. But yeah, this is the Day of Dragons Legacy branch, meaning that everyone who be awesome,
become a dragon.
If you kickstarted this game and you didn't like the direction that the new game was going in, they gave this copy to everyone who kickstarted it for free, and they also put it up for sale, which is a little strange to me because it costs you $100 to actually list this thing. So maybe you're hoping that, you know, like what, 20 people will buy the game, the old version of your game that's available, and you'll make that back. I don't know.
I mean, that's not a good sales pitch.
It really isn't.
I don't think they brought that up on the store page. They're like, yeah, this is some old hat stuff.
They did not. You got to thank Eve Stargaze in the reviews for explaining this to us.
Yeah, I was taking a look at it.
That review is a damning.
You look at the screenshots and like, yeah, this is something that would have been interesting to see, and it looks all right. $4.99, and like every time I see the word sandbox, I head over to Google and I start typing, because you can usually find everything you need to find over here in the Unity asset store for these dragons, because that's what this appears to be.
Yeah, well, yeah. The actual full game, Day of Dragons, is $25.99 Canadian.
Okay.
You can get the complete collection for $50 because there's a bunch of DLC as well. They chopped up all the other assets and they sold them separately.
It makes me a little bit sad. We were checking in on that Dragon game. You might remember, like, it was a long time ago. I think even Sterling took a crack, because we've kind of fallen as a society with our standards of like what we will and will not like seriously drag the pitchforks out for a game's quality. What was the first game that we got that had a Linux port that the dude was removed? There was the big hubbub about it. It was
Superlands?
No, it was the robot tech demo thing that was just like a little sandbox. And the guy removed it from Steam.
Earth Year 2066.
Yes.
Oh, that one. Yeah, geez.
Which, if you compare it to some of the stuff that is like on Steam right now for sale, that's competently done.
That's true. Yeah.
I kind of feel like we're just like,
I think it's just the volume, right? Like back then, like you still had Greenlight and shit to contend with, so you still needed to provide like something. These days, if you got $100, you can put your shit on the Steam store. And
yeah, we had higher standards back then. Like you expected a game to meet a certain quality level to be on Steam, and now, my, how things have changed. But as Jordan said, yeah, there's a fuller real version of the game with online PvP and apparently a busted anti-cheat system that everyone's complaining about.
Yes.
Sadly, no. Dragons. A couple of game updates, up to and including Skullduggery.
Can you read what's in my mind?
It's Marie. Yes, we've been talking about Skullgirls and everything that the developers have gone through with the previous owner, and I'm very, very glad that they not only have gotten over that, but have kept on developing Skullgirls. And Marie, the current, if you played the game, she's the current Skullgirl in the story. You can now actually play as her. She's, the last character of the first season pass. And there's going to be more characters coming up. They are working on a few guest edition characters for the mobile version of the game. One of them is called Minette, which is one T too many off of the Portuguese word for cunnilingus. But that was just an unfortunate thing that I noticed on their release notes. The other thing that I noticed, because I used to play Valentine a lot, it was one of my favorite characters. The needle projectile that she has, it could do one of three different status effects, which were completely indistinct up to now, basically. You could not tell which of the things were, and some of the key combos were very, very similar. But they have actual differentiation now between each one, which is really, really nice. And there's just more improvements.
they added some fancy new palette swaps for all of the characters. They have a heavy announcer pack. A lot of the stuff they've been adding is like paid content for if you want like full voice acting for specific characters or different voice packs, different color paths, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, we haven't talked about it for a while, but it's been a few patches where these guys have just pushed out updates. And this is like how you fucking get a return on investment from making sure that your engine just supports Linux right off back. Because like, all of this new development gets supported on multiple platforms. You didn't really need to put in a lot of effort to maintain that. We're just seeing that like it pays dividends. It allows you to continue to put out content and make it as available to as many people as possible.
Yeah, I'm always curious about this game and why Skullgirls, because I watch Maximilian doing, right? Because he's got
the other Pedro, the cooler.
Yeah.
Pedro.
The reason I know even that the streamer exists is because Jordan's like, we got a budget, Maximilian dude. And I'm like, what? I got to go look this guy up.
Yeah, straight up.
You know, it's like Pedro with a palette swap, and I don't know. That like I don't see it.
Nori agrees. I've shown Maximilian to Nori. It's like, oh yeah, no, this looks like you. Okay. All right.
I you know what? I did a double take the first time that face popped up on YouTube. I'm like, is Pedro putting out shit on his? Nope, this is a different person. Yeah. Okay.
He plays a lot of the fighting games, and a lot of the fighting games are like massively, like, I've never heard of this stuff. That's one of the reasons I'll tune in. And a bunch of it's like weeb fighting games too. It's like anime fighting games, and like they have huge communities. Why did Skullgirls just never take off? Like, what's the story behind that? Like, what happened to Kneecap and nerf this to the point? And I'm not hating. I went and looked it up. Like, at least on Steam, this game averages like 100 and 120 players a day. Like, I mean, it's not nothing, but that's a rounding error.
Yeah, I think like more anime fighters have like come out since. Like, there's been Guilty Gears, there's been like Melty Bloods and the other ones. I think there's just like a lot more competition now. And
admittedly, Guilty Gear has been around for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, Guilty Gear's starting to like get a lot more popular now because it's been around forever. But like, it was kind of like the not Street Fighter, but now we get some like hardcore Guilty Gear stands out there. I don't know. I think it's just like it's an older fighting game. I think it came out at the time where like crowdfunding, right? Like, a lot of those games came out and people just kind of played them and lost.
Do you think it's time for an update? When did Skullgirls second? 2013.
Yeah, it's been a decade now. Holy moly!
Yeah,
and they had that issue, that entire issue around Lab Zero and what they could and couldn't do with the game until they sorted out who owns what and who actually has the responsibility for the Skullgirls.
Maybe it's time for Skullgirls on Core Trace.
Skullgirls and Knuckles.
If they keep on improving like they've been doing for a while now, and they keep on working, like having active season passes and new characters and whatnot, they may very well get a bit of a second win going.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, it's always seemed like a fun game, and, you know, it's had Linux support roughly, you know, not since day one, but it eventually got it.
Oh. Thanks, Simic.
Yeah.
Yes. The volunteer.
Right. Let's be fair. Like, somebody had to show up and do it for free.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Simic.
Yeah.
We owe you. Yes. They owe you, actually.
Correct. Now.
All right.
On to some news. Something, you know what? Anytime I see the word Battle Mage show up, I'm like, please be good news. Please be real. Because I think we all feel that, you know, it's kind of got to happen. And of course, we're talking about the new next generation video cards from that little scrappy upstart Intel. And WCF Tech's got two different articles. Because apparently somebody lit up an engineering prototype, and I got a little bit of a benchmark. This was a 24-core, 12-gig unit, and, you know, really nothing more than just proof that Z Part 2 actually exists. The silicon is real, you know, it's not just fanfic and wishes.
So someone actually made a thing.
Right. Like, this thing exists, which is like, okay, that's not bad. That's not bad, Intel marketing department. Judging by the performance, Pedro Mateus, I think this is very much in the smoke test phase, the PCB layout. Like, let's plug it in and see if it catches on fire while running a thing, maybe?
Yeah, they had that little graph with the megapixels per second on the Sandra GPGPU processing benchmark. And they have, oh, it's the 770 and a 750. And then where you'd expect the A380 to be, they instead have the new Battle Mage XZ2 LPG cards. It's like, oh, all right. So that's the level of performance we're expecting. Okay.
No. Yeah, we're hoping some drivers can improve on that a little bit.
I think this is not even a qualification. This is like straight up. When I say smoke test, this is like, okay, we got something on a board. You know, let's see if it runs. You know, it's like when you see engineering samples of CPUs, they're often heinously underclocked.
This is like a 50% performance decrease from the actual thing.
Oh, we get spitball for all we know. Maybe this is like 98%. This is all I can do.
Yeah, no, it's just for CPUs, at least Intel CPUs, it tends to be like half.
But it is real. Like, it is no speculation. I mean, BMG, G10, and 21, HPG, they're coming out. Like, they're coming out this year, allegedly. I don't know. I want to see something that fills me with hope. This doesn't fill me with hope. It doesn't fill me with dread either. This is just like, okay, this is interesting. It makes me smile a little bit knowing that this silicon is out there. Like, they've already got the chips together. Now they just got to get them on some boards. I don't give a hot damn about a 12 gig card in 2024. I think 16 or 8.
Yeah. I will take 12 on something that's supposed to be competing with, like, say, a 4060 ish. But
I have a 6700X. I mean, it has 12 gigs of VRAM.
You know what? I wouldn't, because a 4060 is competing with a 3060 Ti ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 6700 XT, 3060 Ti, 4060. Yeah.
And we got AMD over here. AMD's just way too content being second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
NVIDIA's a little too busy competing with themselves in the high end.
NVIDIA's not even competing with anyone at this point.
NVIDIA's like, give us money, motherfuckers. We don't give a shit.
They're like, what you gonna do? They just made turned out to be a smart move, man. We're just gonna make this insane, unhinged 4090, and like, what are we, like 3 years later, like nothing is messing around with it. Intel, get your shit together. I'm looking forward, and fix your compute stack, hopefully between now and when, because Intel Arc has already been on the market now for 18 months. Linux State is usable, but it's not great. There's so much room for improvement. I'll have a video out about that with a full write-up probably by this time next week, and we'll talk about it on the show. So, there's going to be two flavors of this Battle Mage. You know, there's going to be a little baby mobile version, a little power sipping version. Then there's going to be the one that uses or power, and hopefully goes brr just a little harder.
Uses all the power.
Is it even on your radar, though? Like,
at this point, no. You know, maybe I have a HTPC that could maybe have the RX 580 in there replaced with something a little newer, but like, I don't know.
Battle Mage, the one thing I definitely want to see is like power usage for Intel Arc, even at idle, is atrocious.
Yeah.
And that's not a Linux thing. That's just an Intel Arc thing. And like some of the hoops and loops people have come up with to try to get it down just where it's like reasonable. It's kind of crazy. That's one of the things that should work out of the box, but maybe it will be ready in time for Wayland. So what, 10 years, 15? Right around the corner.
Actually, I'll give it another like 9 months.
Yeah. Considering how big a kick in the shins Joshua Ashton, Joshy, the froggy boy, the person behind D9VK, currently working for Valve, and basically going over to the SDL GitHub and saying, hey, this is the second attempt to get SDL3 to prefer X11 instead of Wayland, because the default right now is set to Wayland. But there's a few issues. Well, there's a number of issues. Namely, Wayland doesn't support the first-in, first-out method for vSync. So, and the only way to fix that would be to actually create an entirely new protocol to support it. And apparently, no one was aware that that was a thing. You have
sort of.
No, you have the comments from like Detective Conan there, and he's like the perfect. It's like, oh, is this an issue? I didn't actually think this was an issue.
So they say that, but like, and that, this isn't an issue on GameScope though, because GameScope effectively implements FIFO v1 and effectively has the commit timing v1 protocols that are required for this thing to not like horribly bottleneck on your GPU
now.
So long and fruitful discussions were have. It seems like the resolution so far is, SDL3 will now probe to see if FIFO v1 and commit timing v1 are supported. If your compositor has it, it will default to Wayland. Otherwise, it will default back to X Wayland, and that will be it. Until this gets resolved. But as Pedro's saying, now people are aware of it. Now hopefully we can get some motion on the Kwin and Mutter side and the other various Wayland compositors to get something like this implemented.
Kwin kind of sort of supported it already.
So this is going to be reliant on the compositor, we're not going to need changes in the Wayland protocol itself.
You're going to need an entirely new protocol to be implemented. Yes.
Yeah,
that's why it's currently unfixable.
Got it. Joshy did a good thing, man, because like, strangely enough, we have the more than one person show up in the thread and saying that, like, no, we got to do this. We got to force hands here. We got to break user space, which...
Yeah. And Joshy was not fond of that.
Won and done that, man, because he was like, yeah, we are absolutely accepting this is unfixable right now. Very adult, very mature. That's what I like to see. I was happy. And yeah, like this is, don't break user space. Is like, just, you don't hold loaded guns to developers' heads and say, you better fix this or people are going to be mad at you. Like, that's not SDL's job right there, you know? Yeah. It's to work. It's to have a usable system. And, like, it boggles my mind that this even had to be, because it's such a obvious, like, yeah, just detect. If it does, like, do a fallback, man. Like, it's not...
Yeah, and like, that solution comes up very, very early in the thread, and people are like, yeah, no, this seems like the reasonable thing to do. But yeah, no, there's definitely the discussion of like, yeah, the SDL code base is not the place to get up on your soapbox and demand that things work a certain way. This is an upstream project that people consume, and you need to keep your users in mind.
Yeah,
especially for very demanding applications like video games. And no, again, the point that I was making earlier, because you have. Basically, Detective Conan being the one person that's like, look, the FIFO Wayland protocol, it can be implemented at any one time as soon as anyone wants, and everyone's going, why hasn't implemented it yet? Clearly, there's a demand for it. We didn't know. We legitimately didn't know that this was a necessity, that this was a requirement. So clearly there has been a big enough kick in the shin now to get all the balls rolling for all of the different compositors and everything. And the thing that kind of surprised me was the fact that the Steam overlay and Steam input for Wayland native applications still doesn't work. That was shocking.
I mean, always keep in mind, because I see this brought up from time to time, is the there's no war between X and Wayland, because the same people who developed X are developing Wayland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's positive and negative. No. I wouldn't expect any breakneck progress on this, but at least they're aware of it. I just want to be realist.
And, like, it does already work in game scope, and I'm pretty sure that, like, something like this can be relatively simply implemented, just because, like, most of the groundwork has already been done through game scope, so.
Yeah, I think this is pretty much, like, going to be a non-problem. I just want to make sure, like, good on Joshy, because this is, read the title, this is take two of trying to, like, get a very simple, like, there shouldn't have been any friction on this to begin with.
And there's already a take three with the proper pull request to check whether or not it supports, whether the running compositor supports FIFO. And if it does, it can do it. If not, it just goes back to using X-Wayland.
But again, it's always good to see the stuff go, evolve in progress. Like, because shit gets identified and fixed, and we can have productive technical discussions about this.
I mean, it is the truth to it. The more people use something, you're going to that's how it's got to take place. But that's a weird line to have to balance back and forwards on, because you don't want to just outright break stuff for people. But you also want to deliver those ever so loving, gentle nudges. But come on, let's get some movement on this.
Incremental progress. Yeah. Indeed. Well, one upstream consumer of STL is Wesnoth, and they have a new release. And, I thought, when was the last time Wesnoth had a release? And I went back to their GitHubs and I looked at their release cadence. It's like, okay, they do about one a year. That's much faster than I would have guessed. But yeah, they have a brand new update out, 1.18. They got one brand new campaign and two existing campaigns. You get a big old massive overhaul with some better story, some better AI, and so on. Get some match history features as well, so you can look at your old matches. And they have built-in achievements, but they're not Steve achievements.
Yep, looking
skeleton.
They're not the
open source achievements that run on the Fediverse. They're just built-in achievements to Battle for Wesnoth, so that you can show off your Wesnoth epeen to all the other folks. And this is just one of those long-standing open source projects that's been around for fucking forever. It's always cool to see them push.
I mean, it's available on Steam these days.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
So you can run over and grab it. Now, they do say this is a completely, not to sell a short, man, new rendering engine, and that just happens to come with a 60% boost in FPS. All those extra FERPs. So you can really crush those pixels at 640 by 480, however you might want to rock and roll with it. And here's a big quality of life improvement. For those of you, the six or seven of you, I don't know how many people play it online, but if you do online multiplayer with this, you can now keep track of people you've played games against. And that's really important, man. Nice. That's really important when you find that one person, that was awesome. I got to run. You never hear from him again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our ships shall never pass and touch ship wieners.
One time I actually ended up going to school with one of those people. We were talking about it and I found out what his username was on Battle.net. I'm like, oh, I fucking remember you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. that was weird serendipity. It's been known to happen, but it's good that they're putting this in to let people actually stay in touch.
Yeah, it's dope. Because, everybody's got their Steam friends that last online 9 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
Completely free, download it, and you can get the binary, you can get it everywhere. I mean, Wesnoth's just been out forever, man. And
I wish they really had a pay what you want thing on Steam, because just toss them a couple bucks, right?
Just create a bit of DLC, just get the source code or something on Steam. It's costs $5. There, done.
Yeah. Wonderful time.
Just let people give you money.
Jordan, you are more familiar with the eye there than Pedro myself about a game made of blocks.
Yes, only marginally so, but I will flaunt my knowledge over all of you. I am the Roblox master. All shall bow before me. So this is open source project called The Mirror. And this is just XKCD 927 incarnate. So there are a lot of games out there that allow you to make games within them. You can do this through Fortnite, you can do this through Second Life, you can do this through Roblox, Minecraft to some degree. Yeah, UEFN.
Hang on, can I interrupt you for a second? Fortnite.
What's up?
All right, show of hands, who had to Google UEFN?
Yeah.
the only reason I can tell you what that is because I Googled it. Yeah, it's the game editor in Fortnite.
As you were.
But yeah, people are making content in Fortnite, and that's how they share it out. So these guys are like, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't have for-profit corporations try to exploit people. Let's make an open source version of this. And, you know, it's not a bad idea. In principle, you know, from the ground up floss version of essentially what is a metaverse. Well, I mean, we might as well use the term to describe what the thing originally
that's
is
what
for.
They're trying to do. Yeah, so might as well.
Yeah, it's essentially an open source metaverse done in Godot. Done with some web technology components like JavaScript so that it is more accessible for people to make games with. And yeah, like from the ground up, having an open source version isn't a bad idea, if only to have like the weird hipstery mind test option. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I didn't like, that's step one. Join our Discord. Fuck you. Seriously, get fucked. Step one should never be to join the echo chamber. Step one should be to read the documentation, the source, which is step three in your thing. Seriously, the question is, because Roblox and Fortnite have the amount of content and the amount of people contributing to it that they do, because there's a very prolific marketing team that's actively trying to weaponize children against Apple. Epic. So who's going to weaponize the children in order to use the mirror?
What kind of weapon are we talking about, though? Is it like some right. sort of trebuchet or like a railgun?
What
or...
is our yield in megatons here?
Yeah, how many children can we simultaneously launch? what's our target spread here?
Is it compatible with socks?
Can we do area denial with children? That's what I want to know.
Have fun parsing that one, YouTube algorithm.
Yeah, they're just like, not monetized.
Like, why is this one taking 9 hours to... you know what? I'm not against it, man. Like, if you got the editor for, like, a fork knife and, like, I don't know, open source, I mean, it is a fork of Godot, but it's an open source fork of Godot. And, like, you know, even if this turns out to be a thought experiment. I'm like, yeah, hey, we tried to do a good, nobody showed up. I'm like, good on you for at least trying, man. You know, at least you're not sitting around being a do nothing bitch on the internet. You got that going for you. I will agree to Discord, though. As somebody who had to track down information for an older game, I ran into a situation where I had to find, I found the forums on Web Archive, right? The forums had gone away.
Oh boy.
So I was already on Web Archive going through the forums and I'm like, what did you see? User, you know, fill in the blank XKCD.
I saw someone on Mastodon post, like, should GitHub have, like, their own IRC server just so that you can, like, keep everything within GitHub? Just OAuth to your GitHub ID.
At least GitHub has discussions now. It's a step in the right direction. But, like, I found where the forums and I found where that sidewalk ended with this. And they're like, we're moving to a Discord. So this was the first time in my life where I had contact with somebody who had taken their forums and just moved everything to Discord the best they could. Discord's great for chat. We have a Discord. It's available for our Twitch subs and our patrons. We've been on since, like, you know, 30 seconds after Discord launched. But we use it for chat. It's good for chat. It's good for video conferencing. It's an absolute shit show replacement for forums, because I found myself in that situation of trying to find, I need to know this file is. None of the stuff's threaded, and I'm searching random chat rooms, trying to trace back conversations, which would have taken seconds in traditional bulletin board system. And it was a hot mess, and I eventually just had to add more to the static of, like, does anybody have this? By the way, this is a Norwegian-only speaking Discord. just to keep things interesting for me. Yeah, don't use Discord as a forum replacement.
Yeah, that's...
That was my long way of agreeing with Pedro.
Yeah, as someone in, like, a professional context who has to deal with Slack in very much the same capacity, having shit in a place that is, like, easily searchable is key to actually recovering information.
One of the reasons for Reddit's success story, because that's what Reddit is. It's a bulletin board system.
Yeah, like, it's a forum, yeah.
Easily indexed, easily searchable. One of the reasons I have a bulletin board system at interfacinglinux.com, one, Reddit's not long for this world, kids. Like, if you don't already, if you haven't put those tea leaves together, it's going to come as a surprise to you. But two, I want a searchable index, and get, you know, I don't answer tech support on GitHub. Well, sometimes on GitHub, yes, but never in a YouTube comment, because you never find a YouTube comment in your Bing search, your Google search, your DuckDuckGo search for your solution. What do you find? Forum post. You find Reddit. Oh, yeah. Don't do your technical dumps in Discord. There you go. Soapbox over here. I've slid it out of the way. We can move on.
Yeah, no, that is the unfortunate, because yes, I too like Discord, and not for any kind of information archival,
Chat is not email. Email is not chat. No. And people who think that they are the same really need to have their heads checked.
Well, it's just like the headspace of, like, would you have ever considered using, you're like, hey guys, we're getting rid of our bulletin board system and we're all moving to IRC. We're just going to use our IRC for that. And I'm like,
oh yeah, good luck finding fucking literally anything. Those IRC logs are gone. Right.
I mean, it's the same difference, man. All right. Last bit of the evening. Bad news. Pour one out. Get the trumpets. Play sad trombone noises, because the gold rush is over. Slay the Spire and Darkest Dungeon devs say that Game Pass and Epic exclusive deals have dried up for indie developers. It's not easy being indie right now. And look, there's a little Scully boy right there. He's got, what is that, leeches?
Yeah, he's one of the Darkest Dungeon enemies. Awful shit to your face, probably.
So they had a little talk that, you know, they talked with a couple of developers here, and, you know, being able to cut a deal with, like, who the hell ever, it really doesn't matter, has been a good thing for indie developers, because, hey, sometimes it'll let you break even on your game even before you release it, which is just like winning the damn lottery for a lot of these lads, so I don't fault them for that. And Epic and Microsoft, they've been kind of reevaluating things lately, if you haven't noticed. Both of them have decided to take this very bold, innovative stance of just not throwing money at walls anymore. Saying, let's see what sticks. Maybe they'll make a great game. Here's some money. Go out and run, make a great game. Maybe not. Because that's kind of been the norm for the past couple of years too. Like, how many times have you seen, like, random indie game? I'm not knocking any of these developers. Get paid, son. How many, like, random on Epic exclusive? You're like, what? Huh? I've never, like, why? How did you get that deal? I mean, good on you, but how did you get that deal? Those days, I believe it's going to be behind us, man. Because, and you think about exclusives traditionally. That's what got me thinking, though. Exclusives, I'd say, traditionally, were made to sell platforms. Something we talked about in the pre-show, you know? And we're talking hardware. We're talking consoles. Or to get you to a store. You know, it's going to only be on the Microsoft Game Store. It's only available on Steam. Only available on Epic. And traditionally, those games were like AAA titles, big polished things that you're like, ooh, I need to go get that. You know, your Horizon Zero Dawns, go buy a PlayStation, fucko. It never made sense, to me at least, like, of just making smaller indie titles exclusive. Like, where's the drive motivation? Like, I never saw the end game of that. I always have said from the beginning, awesome for the development team, awesome for indie devs. But for the company, I'm like, the fuck did you ever expect to come of this, though? Like, nobody's gonna... How many times, both of you, we've all been there, leave a comment on the YouTube video. How many times have you heard of a game somebody's talking about and you're like, wait, what? When did that come out? Oh, it's on Epic. Oh, that's why I haven't heard about it. All right, 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 right.
Yeah, and again, like, with more smaller teams, like, I was going to bring this up with the mirror, but, like, fuck, Lethal Company, that came out of Roblox, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that guy was originally making Roblox games, and then he decided to make a big boy game, and now we have Lethal Company. So, like, yeah, we're The sweetheart deals that indie devs were getting were never going to last forever, right? Like, we all knew that eventually Epic was going to start running out of cash. And I guess, like, for Game Pass, theoretically, Microsoft can throw infinite money at the problem, but they don't necessarily want to do that forever. I don't know. What's going to change? Are we going to start seeing Game Pass go up in price? Are we going to start seeing Epic get rid of these free games?
No, yeah, I think this is like bizarre fever dream of like trying a. I don't even think it's like a money issue for either company at all. This is just like both of them going, this doesn't work, does it? I'm like, well, no, it never did.
Well, no, it is a money issue though, because it's not getting them their return on investment.
Well, I mean, it's a business decision versus like. Oh, we can't keep, you know, we'd love to keep doing this. That's what I'm coming from. Neither of these companies are going, man, I wish we could keep doing this because it's so great. Both of them are like, this ain't working.
But when was the, they were expecting the other shoe to drop at some point. They were expecting
that they clearly have started to realize. Microsoft is slowly starting to realize that exclusives do not an Xbox sell because they've bought a lot of game development and game publishers and a bunch of studios and a bunch of people that work for Microsoft now. Activision Blizzard being the latest one. They also bought Bethesda, and they were being, you know, really proactive in the marketing, saying, yes, the new Bethesda RPG is coming to Xbox only. And it's going to be, you know, the first new IP from Bethesda in however many years. Then Starfield launched, and it was Starfield. Epic actually posted losses after a while, and they had to cut back on how many exclusives they were paying money to. And those kind of decisions only serve to benefit Epic and Microsoft themselves, because they own the platforms and they can have more control over the kind of developers and the kind of games that they have on their platforms. So it only helps them and the developers.
Where do you think this is going to go in the future, though? That's what I mean. Like, Epic has invested a lot of money into this. Microsoft also has invested a lot of money into it. Are they just going to pull out? Are we just going to see them like? We saw like Ubi give up. They were trying to be all like, oh, come to Ubi Play or whatever, Ubisoft Connect, to buy games. And now they're same all the EA, shit's available yeah. on.
I think what we're going to see dry up here is the scattershot approach that we're all familiar with, and what Pedro was right. Dump trucks and money on seeing what sticks. This is not getting rid of this. This is not, exclusives aren't going anywhere. They're not. And if you think the days are done or numbered, they're just going to be more selective about it like they used to be. Like I said, back in the olden times, a long, long ago. Yeah, if you got something, you're like, oh, shit, we need to get that one because we can see where this is going to go. They get the deal. Only them. Not six other companies along with them. You know, Sausage Simulator 9000. Sorry. Yeah, you don't get your Epic exclusive deal anymore.
They're trying to assure their bets, absolutely, because like you never know what's going to take off. You never know what new game is just going to resonate with people.
Again, brought it up, dude.
Lethal Company.
Lethal, yeah. Like I saw that, and I'm like, meh. And then I watched people play it, and I'm like, oh my.
Yeah, it's a complete shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to be successful, and I guess like these guys were hoping, oh, if we like fund a bunch of our guys,
right? Incubator.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna give them a bunch of money, and they're gonna put out a bunch of good shit, and they're gonna draw all the shit to us. But like, you can't force it. You can't force this thing. You can
manufacture it.
You can create the environment and hope for the best, but that's kind of it.
Now I can see Microsoft's strategy, because you know Microsoft has been on this buying spree, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Microsoft had anything to do with Starfield, man. That piece of shit was been baking long before it showed up.
Microsoft that's the Todd Howard special.
Yeah.
Microsoft did have something to say, because Starfield was going to come out the same day that Skyrim came out, but in 2022, so 11/11/2022, and it only came out in 2023. So there was a whole year that Microsoft looked at the game. You're saying we should
thank Microsoft for them going, no, it is not ready.
Yes. Microsoft had that particular impact on Starfield.
Starfield could have been worse, people.
But yes, is that really I think that's more of an indictment on Bethesda than it is like a compliment towards Microsoft.
Bethesda was making another Bethesda-ass Bethesda game. Like this is what we know. Like everything's in the motion. It just turns out like the market has moved on. We're like, we got better options than just another generic Bethesda-ass Bethesda game. Like, yeah.
Well, you get shit like Outer Wilds and Avowed. That is going to be making Bethesda games better than Bethesda games. Because
Outer Worlds is a different thing.
You know, when it comes down to it, you know, Microsoft is, you know, it's easy to like be very short-sighted with like Microsoft gobbling up these studios. And this is like a two-sided thing. It's good in the sense that, you know, this is the natural life cycle of businesses. And the people at those companies that are vested, they're going to get out. They're going to create their own indie studios. They're going to go back. You know, they want to make games. They don't want to be tied up in some corporate bullshit structure. No, like this is how it's always worked. But Microsoft's playing that long game, homie. Like Valve was playing that long game when they made those original Steam machines. Like they're looking 10 years down the road here. And like we're seeing like year to year, you know, we're thinking like investors like, we don't have immediate results. Probably Microsoft's. That's part of their plan, man. Not exclusives or anything like that. It's like getting talent. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on to that talent or how it's going to, but I think that's part of their plan of like actually having some good games later on.
Maybe, but like, I think like ultimately that consolidation is just going to result in like
consolidation creates new studios though.
With money from what?
That just got fat motherfucking paychecks because their company got bought. So they're spit off. I mean, that's how it's always worked.
That becomes less and less and less and less. I don't think that's a
sustainable model. Becomes big, and what happens? It gets bought, and it happens over. Like this has been going on for like 30 freaking years, man. Like this is like Microsoft buying up a bunch of studios. Like not writing new playbook here, man. Like this has just been happening.
It wasn't just Microsoft. If you look like the example I know best is EA bought BioWare.
Oh God, eBay. Yeah, like there you go. There's your 90s and early 2000s example of like how many studios did EA just
and how many of these dead IPs that could be made into like great games are just.
I'm not talking about IPs. I'm talking about games.
And then
what do you think it's turned into games?
You have. Then
why do you hate original IP, Jordan?
I don't.
All I'm hearing is I hate original IP. Bring back my old games, man.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Fucking
Mario beta. Only. Mario but only. Everything needs
for
to be
all
Mario.
For all the games that do end up dying because the IP end up in like some copyright hell that they can't be pulled out of.
Yeah.
There's also companies like Beamdog who are composed of. Black Isle and BioWare and other development studios that got bought up by some bigger publisher.
Right.
And they just got together and try to get as many of their old IPs back under their own wing so they can keep developing it. That's why we have Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition and the Baldur's Gates Enhanced Editions for 1 and 2 and the Icewind Dales. More Beamdogs in the world is what I'm saying.
You got to get this stuff broken up. Gearbox made the news this week.
Yeah, they got sold back from Embracer. Yeah.
Embracer put them on fire sale.
They went back to 2K.
Yeah. So that means what's-his-name's got paid twice.
Randy Pitchford is making a lot of bank.
I don't know, man. Like, however it ends up shaking down, exclusives will probably always be around at some point. But, like, what do we think? Do we have a different opinion? And, like, what if it's a... Steam exclusives. How many games are only released on Steam? But Steam doesn't do that, though, right? I don't think there's any situation where you could, outside of like Valve releasing their own game.
I mean, like Steam has some like, I don't think they have any like super public. Most favorite nations and stuff. That's public.
Yeah.
But like, at the same time, like Steam is just a PC gaming store, right? Like you could be selling
your
game. How dare
you, Valve? Steam is a community, Jordan, filled with.
Given a few other Valve people have said that they don't want exclusives on Steam. If you have your game on Steam, great, but you're free, very much encouraged to have it on more places.
I mean, Valve doesn't like really care. Like, as long as they get their 30%, we're good. Like, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for the news. We got one little bit of hate mail. If you want to get in touch with us, head over to linuxgamecast.com, smash that contact button, fill it out, click send, leave in a YouTube comment, leave in a YouTube comment. Sure, leave out a YouTube comment, and we might put it in anyway. If you do leave your response, your thoughts, hints, allegations on the Patreon post for our beautiful party patrons, you're going to get on the show, guaranteed. Everybody else, make it good, and we might throw it in like we did this week. Last week, we were talking about the most slap fighty of slap fight computer nerd thing we got going on. That's right. AMD versus NVIDIA. Whose corporate waifu is better? And
Shadowmancery.
Yeah.
They respond and say, I don't really argue over NVIDIA versus AMD anymore. Not after I swapped to AMD. Everything has worked without the smallest hiccup, star. Since there's nothing to argue about anymore, one is a mess and the other just works. You just kind of lose any drive to argue when you don't have a problem. And before zombies come, but what about CUDA? Like I said, I don't have a problem. Rule one is you don't talk about Occam. Yeah, don't bring that up. I made the switch not for any like particularly ideological based reasons, and more just because the better performing card was the AMD card at my price range.
Yeah.
I've been pretty happy. Things just work. Except for like AV1 on Twitch. That doesn't work. That's
well, it's not AMD.
That's a Twitch decision.
Yes. Yeah. and apparently some of the machine learning shit doesn't work too well on RDNA 3. But
I mean, again, for years it's been like, if all you want to do is play video games, and I don't say that in a negative way. Like that, let's face it, that's probably well over 90% of your use case for a discrete GPU for the home user, right?
Yeah.
Like, what do you want to do?
Maybe some transcode if you're like running MB or something.
And hardware acceleration for the web browser. That's it.
Yeah. Like you're kind of good across the board. You're living large. You got options, and like Shadowmancer brought up, and like, let's just not discuss the compute situation because you know it's there's no competition. Like it's dumpster fire or NVIDIA. You can have a blue dumpster fire or a red dumpster fire, or you can just use CUDA, which pisses me off. Yeah. I was excited. I don't want to give you any spoilers, but I had a moment there where I had an Intel card in DaVinci Resolve open under Linux. I'm not going to tell you how that concluded, but you might have put 2 and 13 together on that. But yeah, if it just works, what's your biggest peeve? You've been using AMD longer. What is the most broken thing with AMD? Because Pedro is capable of delivering a honest opinion. Like, there's something with AMD that you're like, God damn it. I think Jordan's going to say some problems.
Yeah, I do have a gripe. Right. And it's the power management shit in RDNA 2 and 3 Plus, where you will need to explicitly set either low performance or high performance mode. Or else you get these weird little micro sleeps and you get like these little graphical distortions on your screen that don't really affect anything, but it is just annoying to look at. But yeah, that is like one CTL setting. And like, yes, occasionally if I want to switch it to low power mode, I have to like run an echo command, but like it's minor.
Nope. Throw it out. Yeah. Get rid of it. Burn it.
Baby with bathwater. Absolutely.
Go get a Matrix
card. Entirely new computer.
There were some legitimate problems with the AMD, the open source drivers for a while, like browser acceleration just not being a thing default. I
mean, we've been through that. Like AMD has come so far from buy an AMD card for a hobby project to pretty much just pop it in. Now, for me, there's not a universal AMD control panel. Like something... Mike, the control panel I've been looking at over here on Team Green, so damn old it's got a CRT in it because it's been around on my desktop for 20 years, man. And it's got regular color control. It's got all the fan control. It's all there, and I don't have to fuck around with anything. And that's one thing that's missing from AMD, because that has to be like, where's that? Because I need color correction on these monitors. Yeah,
you use whatever your desktop environment provides.
Yeah, that's the thing. Bullshit, though, because I shouldn't have to rely on my desktop manager to set color profiles.
That's the point between having the open source drivers, is that so that Mesa can handle all of the graphical stuff under the hood, but everything that you want to set up and customize, you use your own user stack.
That's
whatever that happens to be.
You just got to install the Catalyst Control Center. You'll be fine.
The full Grix drivers were so bad.
Oh, oh yeah.
But it had an Xbox and a GUI. It didn't do anything. Like, it would tell you.
Yeah, no, it
didn't. It would just scream at you. That was what it would do.
And crash whenever you started the next video sync. Mm. Hi, Skype.
Yeah. Yeah, and then what was the trick for a... Yeah, that was Skype, right? Because if I said, yep, you could easily take down somebody's machine, which we might have done.
You could just crash their X session right then and there.
All right. Let us know what you think. Hey, if you like the show, you want to kick us some coin, head over to linuxgamecast.com, smash that support button. Let's shrink that up or become a patron. Patreon.com/linuxgamecast. We got a gang of rewards as a thank you, and we do thank each and every one of you for making this show possible. Stick around for your name in the credits, but we get bonus things. You get live and uncut version of this show. I got some videos, all my experiences with Intel Arc under Linux, answering all the questions that nobody else is going to post on the internet because I couldn't find them when I was searching. That'll be
join our Discord to find those answers.
I'm going to hide them in our Discord. I'm going to back edit a post from like 6 years ago.
Put some spoiler tags on them.
Yes, it's going to be dope as hell, man. We're going to do that. Speaking of Discord, you get access to our Discord if you're a patron or a Twitch sub where this conversation is going on in Twitch right now. That just kind of moves over there for the rest of the week. So, if you want to come chat with us, and all three of us were in there, we just use that as like our Slack. Like, we don't have like, I guess we technically have our side.
Yeah, for the super top secret communications. Yeah,
yeah, which is like usually something's horrifically wrong when you hear like
something's on fire.
That is the priority channel. That is where things right, go that, when that, you need response.
That's the Voltron phone. So yeah, keep that in mind. We got a store at linuxgamecast.com. We got LibrePay, Bitcoin, PayPal, all the fun stuff. Amazon wish list. Come buy these Yahoos some presents because presents are fun to get. You can potentially kill us because sometimes the Amazon person will leave a package right on your front door and you don't know anything's going to show up and you just bust your ass. It's awesome, but you can send in a note which we will read as a thank you. And if you get anything for the studio, I'll put you back here on the fucking wall. Why? Because you become a fine, upstanding cannibal just like Frank himself. All right, gentlemen, also come check out Jordan's stream on Thursdays. Are you guys done with the
almost? I think we hit the so final quest. We hit the final quest. There might be a little bit of grinding. 2-3 streams is my guess.
All right. Sounds like a fun time. And of course, we do weekly daily Wednesdays on, you guessed it, Wednesdays, 3 p.m. and Trackmania for patrons and Twitch subs. Oh, we got an RPG server. That's what that adventure with Discord was. It's open to the public on the weekend. Just go jump in it if you want to do Trackmania 2 RPG. If you even know what that is, it's the one with people in it. Easy enough to find, but we switch it back over for Tuesdays and Fridays for new tracks every week. Good excuse to get together, talk some Linux, talk some tracks, talk about movies and TV shows and all the other things that go along with that. All right, there we go. Now, before my voice completely gives up, we're gonna cue the music. We do this 8:30 Eastern right here on twitch.tv/LinuxGamecast. We're live before that. For patrons, we do the pre-super shows and for Death Note, Level, and a Boff. And if you're an executive producer, you get a custom live video stream filled with video pixels. If you didn't know about that, that's in the Washrooms Inn. That link is posted in chat in Washrooms Inn every week. But if you want to get in touch with me, I'm on all the social medias. Nobody else is named Ven with two N's, not the Diesels, just the Stones. Ven Stone on Twitter. At Vin on the Blue Skies, and we got mass.linuxgamecast.com where you can find me just at Vin.
I'm Pink Eye for the Linux Guy. You can find me on Twitter at The Burning Fool, Mastodon at Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com, and Frojo at bsky.app.
And you can find me usually a little less croaky than I was today at unaccounted for at mass.linuxgamecast.com, and it's unaccounted for with the actual number 4.
I had to spell it hashtag pelv love.
Yeah, that's one PELGF. What the fuck?
That was some credits.
What about abdominable? Like, say, what if we just had like six packs?
It sounds like exercise. Get away from me.
just shoot some six packs on all of us. We got to thank our advisors, our Theron and Omegas. Our executive producers, Sparbram, Scott Michaud, to talk, Bacass, Mike G, Drummer, Tomas, Dave, Eshep, Ian, Kurducky, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And we got to thank Arlo, Nick Finn, Super Death Stoat, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, and Super Death Stoat and King Bonja.
I dare somebody to join as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Rex Machina, Tragedy, Veritanuda, Justin, Darkwing, System D, Dancing Joe, DeCrezzi, and Ogi One with the Death Notes, Nava, Chad, Romeo, Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Joe, Benjamin, Doom 2.Wad, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, Turnover, Pebble, M Foxdog, Svein, Jaleur, and Piper. Hey, I got through all of them.
Hey, all of our beautiful chairlings, up to and including the fine upstand cannibals, like Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Lennox, New Aldous, Knockless, Johnny, Shep, Gamatron, You Know, Joe, DSN, Joe, Aromatic, Devin, Kai, Joe, Ride, beautiful people, that's going to wrap us up. I'm just looking at that Voltron phone, and I'm like, man, we need phones that have shit sticking out of the sides, though.
I thought that was like Tenga Tapa Gurenlangen.
I don't know. That looks like
the sunglasses.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Gurenlangen.
Yeah.
Oh man, same Volt time, same Tron channel. Dying of fire, everybody. Bye, we'll see you next folks. Week.
Five dudes.